7 minutes past 7. Welcome back to Sports Day, or welcome for the first time for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. We've got a big hour ahead, a weekly chat, of course, with the chief, the voice of sport in Tasmania, Brent Costello from Wynn News. The final rising star chat for the season with a young star from the Crows, getting a belated nomination. Looking forward to chatting with Lachie Scholl. And we continue our 2020 season reviews, marking the cards of the also-rans, who, of course, the pruning lists and the formulating of draft plans is what they've got ahead in search of better things ahead of them in summer. And we will start tonight, Jared, with the Gold Coast Suns in 14th position, 5 wins, 1 draw and 11 losses, a percentage of 90.6, which for a team that finished 14th is pretty good. But they had a really disappointing second half of the year after you and I were pretty bullish about them early.
Yeah, and I still remain bullish. But I was so disappointed with the way they finished. It was really poor.
Particularly Matt Rowe, the last game.
Oh, the whole thing was poor. I mean, they had a couple of games that they should have won. They had a draw against Essendon, would have helped them out.
But they looked like they were at Mad Monday against Hawthorn.
Yes,
they just looked checked out.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think maybe the age still is an issue for them.
Too many kids.
They wouldn't want to be doing this time next year. I mean, they've got way too much talent for that. But they did have a lot of young blokes in. I just worry that the whole Dean Solomon issue may have upset the apple cart. Now, I don't know that, but the timing of that was poor and it was coincidental at worst that they then fell away. So let's just hope that that's not the big issue and that they get on with the business. But the big story about the Gold Coast was the emergence of Matthew Rowe in the first 5 games, unfortunately, until he separated his shoulder against the Cats, for memory. It was the Cats. He was doing things that no normal person does in his first year.
Yeah, it was the second time a season had unravelled for the Gold Coast Suns because of a star midfielder doing his shoulder. Obviously, very different circumstances to what Gary Ablett did when Brett McCaffer that went across him? But they were 3-1, Jared. They belted the Eagles.
Yep.
Then they beat Adelaide and Frio.
The Eagles weren't the Eagles back then, just to put it into perspective.
Of course not. Yep. And then came that trip to Geelong, and we know what happens there. Matty Rowe does his shoulder 10 minutes in, and it just feels like they lost a fair bit of momentum from that point.
Well, they had some nice wins afterwards. They had some pretty solid wins following that. But, gee, from the halfway mark, it really did fall away. And they were disappointing. I thought their skipper was Jared Witts was, again, really good. Mm-hmm. Miller's been a fantastic pickup for them.
Hugh Greenwood was a great pickup for them.
Hugh Greenwood was excellent. It was really exciting when Isaac Rankin came into the side, and yet he fell right away and was trying to do party tricks instead of just build his game around doing the basics. But he'll get that message, no doubt. And it's probably time for Stewie Dew to get a little bit tougher on them and expect higher performances.
So the conversation around Stewie Dew, Jared, I reckon is a really interesting one because for me, apart from... Because this is a new Gold Coast Suns. They essentially started again from where they were.
Yeah.
So forget the previous 6 or 7 years. But for me, going into 2021, it'll be the first time where we'll probably say that playing a bunch of kids isn't really the excuse anymore.
No, there's no excuses next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what they're going to do as far as recruiting is concerned.
We're not saying that they're going to definitely play finals.
No, but they need to have at least a Carlton-esque type year where they've got 8 wins under the belt.
Yep.
They're beating some serious teams and not teams like West Coast that really were in a hub. We're totally annoyed at being in the hub, hadn't get their head around it. So genuine wins against sides who are genuinely ready to take on the 4 points challenge. But you can't deny the fact that they're young players, super talented.
Yep.
Let's hope King holds a few more marks than he did this year. And I'm not talking about Max. I'm talking about his brother. But they're afflicted by the same problem at this stage.
Does he need another body around him? As in, like, would you recruit an older forward for him to play alongside, or would you just make him the?
They got Sam Day.
I know that.
Well, I wouldn't recruit another one. No.
Okay.
You're too big. Mm. I think they're I reckon they're well stocked. I reckon they're ready to go. They just need to have a few of these kids come. I think they could do with another decent tall back. Ballard's got some good games in him,
mm-hmm.
and Ballard is an improving player, but he's a bit messy. He's a bit untidy still. So
they'd probably miss Stephen May.
Yeah, well, absolutely, they would miss Stephen May. But this kid Ballard, I'm not sure where he's at. I've seen him play a couple of really good games. But other times he's a bit like an unmade bed.
Obviously, Rory Thompson and
Was a real blow.
And Jack Hompsch as well didn't play. So they do have key back stocks there if they can get him fit.
Flanders is one I'm looking forward to next year. I didn't see him play a good game this year, but I know he's got a great career ahead of him. So he's one that I think can really jump out of the blocks and add it to Matt Rowell.
And
pretty good stuff.
It sounds to me, Jared, just on the trade front, that they are looking for a new home for Peter Wright, which is disappointing given
No, he's got to go.
But it's given the flashes of talent that he's shown in his short
much
Gold
of it
Coast
for
career. I've seen it in
tiny bits. Doesn't work hard enough. He's got a big tank. He's got to learn to play at a higher level of athleticism. He's got heaps of talent.
Yep.
But, gee.
Do you think he'll be on an AFL list next year?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I'd be really disappointed if he doesn't make an impact because he's got enormous talent, but just haven't seen enough of it. He's had opportunities.
So, Jared, in a couple of sentences, what would you hope and expect? They may be two different things, but hope and expect to see from the Suns in 21?
Well, they're probably the same for me. I'd expect 8 wins.
Okay.
And probably plus.
They won 5.5.
5.5. They must be aiming at a lot more. And that's 5.5 out of 17. So 8 wins out of 22 is about not that much difference in the ratio.
You want them getting to 4 weeks to go in the season and having some sort of chance of playing finals.
Absolutely. Yep. Much more competitive throughout, belting a few sides. You know, I thought their game plan was pretty good this year. I really enjoyed the way they played. They got more assertive in their defence. But they've just got to just tighten up in a few areas and, you know, push on. And it's not without doubt that it's not without some hope that they could play finals.
Essendon finished 13th, 6 wins, 1 draw and 10 losses, a percentage of 79.2. A bit like the Gold Coast Suns, Jared, they were 4-1 after 5 matches. They had that win over Collingwood in the wet. And then it all went downhill, not with just their performance, but with injuries. It started to have more talk externally about who was coaching the team. Was it John Worsfold? Was it Ben Rutten? Are they playing the right way? Excuses started to come out internally from the club. We're still learning the game plan. I'm not trying to be dramatic about this, but it unraveled pretty quickly.
You're not being dramatic. You're just being fairly forthright and blunt. It all gets back to percentage scoop, 79%.
Shocking.
That's like a...
When you consider the Gold Coast Suns had 90.
That's right. And that's a very good comparison. It indicates at a side that picked and choose when they had a crack.
Yep.
They had some injuries, but they fell away badly, and I mean really badly, when they were at their low points. They've got some issues with players. They've got an issue with their coach. The players don't seem to know the coach's game plan. Other coaches have gone in and everybody understands it.
Yep.
They seem to understand it for the first 7 weeks. And then all of a sudden it got complicated. That is a problem for me.
The biggest thing for me, Jared, and you enunciated this 3 weeks ago, and it's taken me a little bit of time to come around to it, is that I'm not sure that they're necessarily getting better next year. And I think a lot of Essendon fans are sitting there going, righto, we had a lot of injuries. We had a bit of a mess with the situation with the handover of the coach. Next year, here we come. I don't know what's going to happen with Danaher. I don't know what's going to happen with Fantasia.
Saad. Bell Chambers is retired.
Bell Chambers is retired.
Saharakis.
Hurley's staying, but I'm not sure is overly enamored with the situation.
Is Zach Merritt happy?
No, but I think he'll be there. And Cale Hooker
is he happy?
Is not overly happy, but he's on quite big money in a back-ended deal that they gave a 5-year deal, which was affected by the Asada situation. Mm. He's got a year left, so someone would have to come and offer a trade. But, you know, despite the...
McKenna's not there.
That's right. Despite the emergence of Jordan Ridley, who was a real positive for them,
winning
a BNF after just 26 games, I'm not sure, going into 2021, that I'd have lofty expectations for them.
Well, I don't think that anybody's going to tip them for the 8. So then it's a question of how far down the track are they?
It would be hard to look at them and argue, unless you were taking a punt on them, it would be hard to argue that they're in the top 8 next year.
Well, it would be one of the all-time great turnarounds if they got into the 8, particularly if the players that are leaving, reportedly leaving, lead. Adam Saad, if you talk to any Essendon supporter, they all think that Adam Saad was at least as good as Ridley. Mm. Some think he was better than Ridley. Didn't reflect him the best and fairest. But
he finished 3rd.
Yeah.
Yep.
But some thought that I've spoken to, that, you know, mad Essendon supporters, they thought probably Saad was favourite.
Right.
But Saad may not even be there next year.
Despite being offered a 4-year deal.
If he hasn't signed now, it means that the likelihood of him staying is 50% at best.
I would agree with that statement. Yep.
So there's no Saad, there's no Bell Chambers, there's no potentially Hooker, although I think Hooker will stay given that no one's going to pay him the cash that he's on.
Yeah, and so will Hurley.
McKenna returns to Ireland, and he's been a fairly good player. Tippett and Woody, I thought, struggled in the back half of the season.
Yep.
So he's got to refine his form, and maybe the coach needs to redefine his role.
I think he struggled for a little while, to be honest.
Indeed. So there's a really big issue. Sam Draper's the untapped potential ruckman. They take a while to come through. Probably need to go to the market and get some backup for him. Mm. James Stewart's, I think, going okay. Were you surprised?
Got tested in defence.
Were you surprised that McKernan was let go?
I was personally, because I would just play him every week if I was there.
So if there's no Danaher and no McKernan.
Yeah. Ben Brown.
Ben Brown has to be going there. Somebody must be going there.
Yep.
Gee. The more you look at it, the more it's a real challenge
Jared,
for Ben
Brown. Jared, I know I've asked you this in a million different ways. Would you keep Danaher if you're Essendon? Or do you think the time is right to just cut ties?
If Joe Danaher is still prevaricating,
which he clearly is.
Well, it's time to get him out the door.
Okay, yep.
It's too big a discussion.
Despite what he can and can't do on the field.
But he's not doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So move on.
And find other avenues to go.
You have to rebuild, even if you have to go backwards, you've got to have everyone who's committed.
Yeah, it's a pretty bleak situation that we're painting for the Bombers, but there's not many other ways to paint it. So Ridley was a great positive, Jared. Andy McGrath, you would think, is certain to be the club's next captain.
But Andy McGrath had a good year this year.
That's right. Yep.
And Parrish had a pretty good year this year too.
Parrish had a good year.
But that midfield doesn't do damage.
And I thought
Dylan Scheel.
I thought Scheel was actually okay, but finished 10th in their BNF.
10th in a BNF. He'd be disappointed in that.
Yep.
Devin Smith was a pretty good player. I thought the move to half back line was a good one.
They
all did that. And how many wins did they have? 6 wins.
I'm not sure. I don't get. You know 50 times more than this about more than I do, but I don't get Devin Smith going to halfback when
he
was the leading tackler in the AFL and won a BNF playing in the midfield.
Leading tackler in the AFL playing as a forward, was he?
No. Well, I mean, he played
inside the forward 50.
No, I think he played. I would say he played mostly as a mid.
Well, when they're losing McKenna and possibly losing Saad,
yeah, they've lost both their distributors at halfback.
Then I think it was a pretty good move.
Yeah, okay. Well, someone had to play there.
Nevertheless, they've got to sort it out, the Bombers, and they've got to sort it out quickly so they can get some positive feeling about the place before they get on their holidays.
That's right. And the reason for optimism for Essendon fans is that they're going to have more clarity in their coaching situation, clearly, with Worsfold gone and Rutten will now be the man, even though we were led to believe he was in 2020. Tomorrow night, we'll run an eye over Fremantle and Carlton's campaigns. Both those teams have reasons, I think, to be excited for 2021. This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Fox Footy's Alistair Lynch to join us next.